Hello, folks. My name is Dorcas DeGale, and this is the Dorcas DeGale's Call-In Show. Today's topic is Earth Day. Call 111-111-1112.
Здравствуйте, меня зовут Светлана Крылова.
Could you talk in English, please?
Oh, sorry. I'm Светлана Крылова. I live in Russia. Here, we don't have Earth Day. Could you please explain what it is?
Sure, Svetlana. Earth Day is the day when we appreciate the Earth we live in. To help save our world from pollution, we take 1 hour to turn off all our lights. We sit in complete darkness from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Thank you. Спасибо. Happy Earth Day. С днём планеты.
Yeah, you too. Okay. Remember, folks, call 111-111-1112.
Hello, Dorcas. I'm Periwinkle Gray, calling in from London, England. I have breaking news. Earth Hour isn't actually good for the Earth. This is because when everyone turns their lights on at the exact same time, after Earth Hour at 9 o'clock, it uses up more power than it would have in the whole hour.
Thank you, Periwinkle. Well, I guess that wraps up our show. Oh, who could that be?
Hi, Dorcas. I'm right now in space. I'm looking down on Earth. Whoa, all the lights are going out. It's so cool. Anyway, I was calling in to ask, what channel is Anything Goes On?
Anything Goes is on CKUT 90.3 FM.
For kids, by kids, all kids radio.
Today we have many stories, a poem, and much, much more.
My World Vacant of Love, written and performed by Isabella Di Silvestro. My world vacant of love, no hope from the heavens above. The world, overwhelmed with darkness, surrounds me with fear. My brother at my side, we are both safe and both near. In my eyes, all is black, gray, and shades of indescribable glumness. The love in my heart is absent, now filled with numbness. The birds never sing, the people never smile. As someone bellows, dread is in the air, I shake my head in denial. Where is it? Where is the love? War and injustice, not a sight of the dove.
Hello, my name is Chloe. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the new children's area at the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's downtown on Sherbrooke Street. Last fall, the children's area was renovated and the program was expanded through financial support from Michel de la Chenelière. That's why it's called the Michel de la Chenelière Art and Educational Studio. I recently interviewed him and this is what I found out. Michel de la Chenelière is the founder of Chenelière Education, which publishes Entend Elia, my social studies textbook, and Challenging Math, in addition to books on science and geography. Be sure to check that out the next time you look at your textbooks. Michel has two passions, education and arts. That's why he decided to help expand the program. The cool decorations all over the walls in the family lounge are what always look to me like graffiti. And that's because it is graffiti. It was done by a group called En Masse, and they used to be street artists. They were encouraged to do the graffiti inside so that way it could be enjoyable and legal. The reason graffiti is on the walls is so that us kids can go and discover new pictures every time. At the museum, on Saturdays and Sundays, you can do awesome art activities related to the special exhibition, and they're all free. Right now, you can do things related to Peru. There are also kids' tours. During the summer, you can go to the art day camp for a week, and then on the last day, you get to show your creations to your family and friends, just like at a museum art exhibit. This museum is very encyclopedic because you can discover so many different types of art. It's a lot of fun because on one trip you can learn about European art, and on the next trip you can learn about medieval art. Recent surveys showed that kids who are in contact with art had a dropout rate in high school of only 4%, but if kids had no contact with art at all, their dropout rate was closer to 25%. That's a really cool survey and a good reason to stay and get involved with art. Finally, Michelle wishes that you all visit the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts and that you come back often. This concludes my talk, and I hope to see you soon at the Museum of Fine Arts. Thank you.
Upside Down by Talaman and A. Tardif. This review is about a movie called Upside Down by Bernd Salling, a fictional movie based on a true story. I saw this movie as part of the Festival International de Films pour Enfants de Montréal, a children's film festival held at Cinéma Beaubien every year in Montreal. This festival happens during spring break and has lots of good movies. As part of FIFIM, I saw a few films, one from India, two from Germany, and one from the Netherlands. The one I liked best was one of the films from Germany called Upside Down. Sasha is mostly a normal kid. He likes to have fun with his friend, Ellie. He lives with his sister and his mom, who's a kindergarten teacher, and a single mother. In Germany, kindergarten teachers don't get paid too well. Sasha's best and only real friend is Ellie. His two favorite things are recording sound effects with Ellie and repairing and riding bikes. He doesn't have much money, so he resorts to shoplifting. When he gets caught, he gets assigned a social worker and goes to a remedial school because he can't read. At the remedial school, he has a fit because kids tease him for not being able to read. He gets diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and gets put on medication. When he takes the medication, he can pay attention and learns how to read. He stops causing trouble, so his mom and his teachers are very happy. The problem is, he seems to be tired all the time, and also seems not to care about what Ellie is doing. Also, he doesn't care about bikes anymore. While he was taking the medication, he had developed a good relationship with the social worker. But when they see that he's better, they reassign the social worker. Sasha gets so mad seeing the social worker with another kid, he throws a brick through the window where they are. Once he realizes he doesn't have fun with Ellie anymore, and doesn't laugh, he decides to stop taking the medication. I find that depending on your perspective, ADHD medication can be good or bad. If you're a kid, you don't get into trouble, but you don't really have fun. If you are a parent or a teacher, it makes you happy because you don't have to deal with the kid being annoying. Would you want to take ADHD medication if you had ADHD? I wouldn't. I like having fun. After the film, the audience had the chance to ask the director questions. My favorite one was the one about who played Sasha. It took a year for them to find a Sasha, and eventually they went to a center in Berlin for troubled kids. The person playing Sasha apparently gave them a really hard time while shooting, i.e. running away, but after the film was finished, Sasha was really proud. It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
What do you get when you cross a TV show, Storage Wars, and a local elementary student with a big heart? You get Harry's Box Auction. Harry is a friend of mine, and I like to tell you his story. He is a grade 4 LCC student, and he is raising money for the UCAN charity so that kids in Sudan can go to school. Harry said, "It made me very sad to see kids who cannot go to school because they cannot afford it. I love school, and I believe that school should be part of every child's life." On June 8, from 2 to 5 p.m. at LCC, he will hold a box auction. Kids only are allowed to bid, and similar to Storage Wars, but you'll not be able to look inside the boxes, but only get a glimpse by a small cut in each box. For more information, please go to harrysboxauction-webs.com. Hope to see you there on June 8. It is going to be an amazing spring and summer at the movies. There are a lot of remakes and continuations of franchises. Here are some movies that I am looking forward to seeing. Iron Man 3 is going to premiere on Friday, May 3rd. The trailers for the third installment of Iron Man
franchise looks amazing. This film again stars Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man / Tony Stark. Jon Favreau directed the first two films, and he is the executive producer on this film. The budget for this film was $200 million, so we should see lots of special effects. 2 weeks later, Star Trek II: Into Darkness is set to premiere on May 13th. The budget for this film is a little less than Iron Man at $185 million. Interesting fact, the budget for Star Trek II movie that premiered in 1982 was just over $11 million. Both actors for the first film are returning for part two. Chris Pine is back to star as Captain Kirk and Zachary Quinto as Spock. This film is directed by J.J. Abrams. If his name is familiar, it's because he wrote and produced TV's Lost. One of the most anticipated movies this summer is Man of Steel. Yes, a new Superman movie, however. Where Superman movies in the past were kind of cartoony and silly, this one looks like it will be darker. To give you a clue, it is produced by Christopher Nolan. He directed the Dark Knight trilogy and Inception. And directed by Zack Snyder, he directed the movie 300. The movie stars Russell Crowe as Superman's dad, Jor-El, and Henry Cavill, he was in the movie Immortals, as Clark Kent / Superman. Also Amy Adams as Lois Lane. The budget is $225 million and is scheduled for release just before school ends on June 14th. While Disney is getting ready to release The Lone Ranger, this is a movie based on an old TV show. You can probably find it on YouTube. This version stars Johnny Depp as Tonto. Expect to see him in lots of makeup. It should be an interesting movie because the music is by Jack White. The budget for this film is $250 million. And look for it in theaters around July 3rd. So when it's a hot summer day and you are looking for something different to do, head to your local theater, relax, and enjoy the show. This was Evan Lung speaking about movies, and remember to help Harry's Foundation.
When I awoke to the sound of heavy breathing on my face, I opened my tired eyes and stared straight into a pair of deep blue ones. It was my little sister, up early for the third time in a row since we had come to Nantucket.
Caroline,
I hissed.
What are you doing up?
She bounced on the end of my bed happily, obviously feeling more awake than I did.
We're going to see a whale today. I know it,
she whispered.
What makes you so sure?
I mumbled back. She leaned closer to me, as if it was some big secret that she didn't want anyone else to hear.
Because last night I said to myself, if it rains tomorrow, then we're going to see a whale.
She screeched the last part excitedly. I turned towards the window, already knowing what I would see. Sure enough, there were raindrops pattering against the window pane, and the storm clouds in the sky were the reason for the darkness. I checked my watch. 7:30 a.m. Early for vacation, but not that early. I sighed and gave up. When my sister Caroline wanted something, she would not stop until she got it. I climbed off my bed and reached for my raincoat. A few minutes later, we set off towards the beach, Caroline skipping ahead in her rain boots and me lagging behind while squinting through the rain. It wasn't long before we were walking on sand instead of pavement, and we could hear the waves crashing onto the shore. The rain was letting up, and I could see the horizon better now, but it was still hard to see things clearly so far off and through the reflections of the sun. I had seen lots of seals, yet never a whale, but it wasn't impossible since the news had reported a pod of right whales that had been sighted off Mattaquette. My whole family had been wishing to see the pod, but we never saw them on our evening walks. My sister and I would rush down to the beach every morning to look for them, But maybe the whales were too far off to spot from the shore. Caroline ran straight to the water's edge, and I rushed after her before she could wade right into the ocean. She was always forgetting the huge waves and currents that would whisk her away. But this time Caroline stopped and just stared out towards the horizon, her eyes searching for some kind of life. But there was nothing but whitecaps and seagulls. We just stood there for a few minutes, neither one of us saying a word. The sun was beginning to rise. Its orange glow sent more warmth into the air. I no longer was dreaming about my warm bed at home. The coolness of the air had made me more alert, and going home wasn't tempting. I sat down on the damp sand and scanned the ocean, but I was not really expecting to see anything more than the diving birds. Caroline was still standing exactly where she had been in the first place. Every so often, a wave would come up further than she stood, and she would have to jump back a little, but her eyes never left the surface of the water. Suddenly, a high-pitched scream of delight came from Caroline. My eyes snapped towards her. She was jumping up and down and pointing out into the ocean. I followed her gaze and leaped up. Out in the distance, the sun was reflecting off a black lump and making it sparkle. It looked almost like a back, the back of a whale. My heart soared, and I ran to stand with my sister.
"Caroline, a whale, a whale!"
I shouted breathlessly.
"I wished for them,"
she said with a smile. Every few minutes, the whale would disappear below the surface, and I would start thinking that maybe we just imagined it, and that it had just been a big, dark wave or something like that. But then it started to spout. The first blast was completely unexpected. The huge, shiny back was rising above the waves, and then a huge turn of water erupting from it like an underwater geyser had just exploded. It was a spluttering speck, like when you turn on your kitchen sink full blast and it splashes towards the ceiling. After that, we knew for sure what it was. It seemed so much more special to see a whale far off on the beach with Caroline than up close off a boat with a bunch of strangers. It felt as if the whale had almost picked us to see him, and nobody else. I don't know how long we stood there watching the whale. Every time it would spout or resurface, we would point and shout and scream. Somehow the news must have spread, because before long, people started arriving at the beach, jumping out of their cars and parking their bikes, all rushing down to the water, hoping to see the whale that Caroline had wished for.
What?
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket.
The Iliad, a retold legend. The Iliad, a story of blood, war, and gods interfering in a battle of mortals. The tale of the famous war between the Greeks and the Trojans thousands and thousands of years ago. That is, if it is true. It is the story of, they say, the most beautiful woman in the world, the queen of Sparta, Helen. She was in love with the strong king Menelaus, but she would soon fall in love with the prince of Troy, Paris. The prince brought the queen back to Troy without permission from anyone. This would begin a battle to go on for 10 whole years in a fight for a beloved queen. Like said at the start, the gods meddled a lot in this fight. Some chose the Greeks, some chose the Trojans. Personally, I prefer the Greeks, but I could change my mind since I haven't finished reading the legend. Not the extremely long poem written by the genius Homer, but a book for people my age, 10 to 14-year-olds. Achilles, the Greeks' most powerful warrior, is actually not fighting during the 10th year of the battle for one reason and one reason only. The great king Agamemnon was rude to him, which made the warrior furious with rage, and soon enough, he wouldn't fight for him and for the queen. I find that the Iliad is a very interesting legend. I also find that it defines the legend category of books. We still don't know if it is true. But if it is, it would surely be one of the most precious battles ever. In the ruins of the forgotten city of Troy, if we can actually find out where it is, there just might be proof of one of the most known fights in the history of mankind.
Zombie Quest
by James
and Abby.
Hi, my name is Max. I have an annoying little sister called Annalisa. Mom says that calling her annoying is mean, but I don't think so. Moms are confusing. One day they're saying never tell a lie, and the next day they're saying never to tell the truth. Very confusing. Anyway, I stepped outside on a hot day in July, the kind where it's humid and sticky, and the flies are buzzing noisily and biting you like there's no tomorrow. Well, there isn't a tomorrow. If flies keep snapping and you bleed to death. Annalisa is telling me that that's gross, but it's just the circle of life, boys being gross. Mom is nagging me to bring Annie outside, which makes the annoying summer day even more annoying. She flounces outside in her cute, which is not actually that cute, pink princess fairy bunny costume, with her light brown curls bouncing romantically in the sunshine, forming a halo over her head. She looked like a little angel, but I knew better. She was a devil in a pink princess fairy bunny costume. We couldn't really do much. I mean, how are you supposed to play Lego Star Wars Invaders with a princess fairy bunny?
So,
she giggled,
let's play princesses.
No, let's play fighter jets.
No!
Yes.
No way.
Fine. Then let's at least build an X-Wing starfighter. I'll go get the pieces.
No, princesses.
Ow, why did you kick me?
I did not.
Stop it. Fine, we can play princesses. Just stop kicking me.
It is not me, Max. I'm telling on Mommy. You're creeping me out.
Do you think it's a ghost? I asked, searching through the grass.
Stop it. You're gonna give me nightmares. I'm going inside.
No way. Let's go explore.
But what if it is a ghost?
Annie whimpered, hugging my arm. I shook her off. We'll just have to find out, won't we? We got on all fours and crawled along the dewy grass.
Max, stop pulling on my leg.
How can I be pulling on your leg? I'm in front of you.
Well, someone is.
I peered over my shoulder and then screamed. Annie turned her head too, to find a knobby green hand clamped onto her pink fairy skirt.
Help me, Max!
She screamed, flailing her arms. I grabbed onto her bunny ears just as the green hand pulled her under the grass. All I had left was the bunny ears. As I sat in the grass holding pink bunny ears and feeling confused, I thought about Annie. It's not that I missed her. In fact, I was enjoying life without her. But something made me unsure. I mean, if I just let my sister get pulled underground by some zombies, I'd probably be grounded for at least 2 months. Plus, the president of the world would probably pay me gazillions of dollars for rescuing her from brain-eating demons. It was worth a try. I felt around the lawn trying to find some hidden trapdoor, something that a zombie could stick its hand through. I found the hole where the green hand had pulled Annie under, but it was mostly closed up and I couldn't fit down. Just as I was about to give up, a hand grabbed my ankle and started tugging me under. I screamed and punched wildly. But after about 3 seconds of struggling, everything went dark and I had a mouthful of dirt. Annie? I called. I was locked away in some sort of contraption. I couldn't see an inch in front of my face. It was so dark. Suddenly, a lamp lit up, and it was grateful for just a little bit of light, until I saw who was holding it. Zombies began swarming in from all sides. I saw Annie in a cage beside mine, curled up and whimpering in her pink princess fairy bunny costume. I would be curled up and whimpering too, but my hands were tied behind my back, and there was still dirt in my mouth. The zombies kept getting closer until they were crowded around my cage. I call the boy, one zombie announced. His flesh is juicier and bigger.
Yes, but the little one has bigger brains. Didn't you know that girls are smarter than boys?
If I hadn't been so scared, I would have protested. But I wasn't about to lecture a crowd of blood-sucking zombies. Suddenly, as zombies rattled my cage and reached for my head, a strange sound set off. Oh my gosh! No, it was my alarm clock? I wake up in my bed, almost screaming. I wanted to shout with joy. Phew! It was all just a dream. I mean, I still had to live with an annoying pink princess fairy bunny, but that was way better than being eaten by zombies. I sail down the stairs, announcing that I had a crazy dream. When I get into the kitchen, I meet the backs of Mom and Dad. Mom? Dad? You wouldn't believe the dream I just had last night. They didn't respond. Didn't even turn around. Mom? Dad? Suddenly, they do turn around. Only there aren't Mom and Dad. They're zombies. The end.
The show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
Back in the jungle,
Monkey and Sloth
are talking.
Yay! It's Earth Day! I've been waiting so long.
Chill, Dad. Just savor the moment.
No! I must collect as many bananas as possible.
No, Dad. Let's do something fun.
I know. It's fun collecting bananas.
No, Dad. We have to do something less complicated, Dad.
Like CKUT 90.3 FM radio? For kids, by kids, all kids radio? Because as we all know, that's bananas.
Today's show was conceived, written and performed by Alexander Lancrete,
Evan Monk,
Isabella DiSilvestro,
James Lustig,
Sophie Manning,
Julia Bouget,
Tonya Jacobson,
Jonathan Milner,
Massimo LeCavalier,
Chloe Lee Gauthier,
Tawa Mulinene Tardif,
and Abby Lustig.
This show was produced by Sarah Daye and Michael Zakon.
Special thanks to Jamie Day and Miss Bouchard.
Tune in 1 month from now for another episode of Anything Goes. For kids, by kids, all kids radio on 90.3 FM or ckut.ca.
tanto déjà. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Joyeux anniversaire. Samedi, midi et terre. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Joyeux anniversaire. Samedi, midi et terre.